Finally, we have made it to Friday, what the world calls a Good Friday, a day where we remember that Jesus was crucified. Now, I do not believe that Jesus was crucified on a Friday. As I have been telling you for the last couple of days, it should be most likely be a Good Thursday or Good Wednesday. It is impossible, in my opinion, for Jesus to have been crucified on Friday. If you look at the proof that the Bible itself provides us, and if we open up the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 40, what you will read over there is, this is Jesus talking, and he says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be there 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, I don't know how you get 3 days and three nights if he was crucified on Friday evening. I just don't get it. And there is an explanation. Somebody will give you that, the way Jewish people count days, any portion of the day is considered a full day. Doesn't matter how you break it down. How do you get three nights from Friday afternoon to Sunday morning? There is no way. There is no way to come up with three nights. So I do not believe Jesus was crucified on Friday. Most likely he was crucified on Thursday. But I don't want to be dogmatic about that. The important part is he was crucified. He hung on that cross. He gave his life so we may have life. And so as we start this Bible study today, on the sixth day of the Passion Week, I want to once again present a question to you. I want to put a question to you. We have been going through a series of questions, and the question today, perhaps the one which is very hard to answer, and as you can see, as each day has progressed, the questions have become harder and harder. But this is the standard Jesus has set. And the question that I have for you comes directly from Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And that verse over there reads, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" Are you ready to pick up your cross? That is our question today. Seems pretty easy, and when we talk about picking up our cross, there is one thing I need to clarify. Let's start with what the Bible doesn't say and what this doesn't mean, okay? And I have heard this from many people, whenever they have some difficult circumstances in the life, difficult situation in life, a difficult person in your in their life, they say, "Oh, that's my cross, and I have to carry it." That's not what this passage means. It's not a burden that you have to carry. That is not at all what this portion of the scripture says. Okay, it's very clear. It's not about your mother-in-law. Your mother-in-law is not your cross. Your tough boss is not your cross that you are carrying. Perhaps some kind of illness or a handicap that you have, that's not a cross that it is talking about here. And it is important that we remember that, and we understand that portion. When Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me," there is a deep, very deep, and a difficult condition to follow him. It is a condition to follow him. It comes right before he says, "Follow me, take up your cross and follow me." And what it tells me is, in order to follow Jesus, we need to pick up our cross. And before that, it says, "Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." When Jesus was walking on this earth, the cross was never referred to as a burden. when you talk about cross, in that day, it represented one thing and one thing only, which was a very, very torturous way to die. It represented nothing else. It was a punishment, and a very cruel one at that, for you to die. Sometimes a person hung on the cross for a couple of days before they died. It was a slow, painful way to die. And so in the simple words, if I may put it, is taking up your cross and follow me means being willing to die to self. And that's what it clearly says in the words, right? Deny yourself, deny himself, and take up his cross. Almost a commandment. And so when we look at this portion of scripture, and today on this Good Friday, I want you to self-examine once again. And to illustrate what Jesus is talking about and some of the obstacles, barriers for us in following Jesus, turn with me in the same chapter, Luke chapter 9, go all the way to the end, and we are going to read from verses 57 to 62. Verses 57 to 62. And here it says, "Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow. I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" So here, beginning in the verse 57, as he's walking along, one man says to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And we read Jesus's answer. A next person, Jesus said to him, "You follow me." And we read his answer. And then a third man, same answer. "Follow me." And he had an excuse not to follow him. Three would-be disciples. And the subject here, right? Subject or the focus in this three or four verses that we read is following Jesus. The first man says, "I will follow." Second man, Jesus says, "Follow me." The third man, "I will follow." And here, following Jesus is the operative theme. This is the theme of this passage. And as we go through the gospel, this is not something new. Jesus many times called people to follow him. Matthew was collecting taxes when he called Matthew to follow him. Jesus called Philip. Jesus called Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, John and James. Both of them, all of them were called while they were fishing. "Follow me." Jesus asking people to follow him, it's not a new thing. It's a theme in the gospel. But there are a couple of very important lessons in these five verses that we read. And so let's look at it together. And at the end, hopefully, we can tie it all down. So verse 57 says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.'" Now, this is in today's day and age, this would be a hot lead, right? If you were selling a product, right? Let's say you are selling cars, right? And somebody comes to you and say, look, hey, can you sell me a car? I am in a market for a car. Now, that's a good news to your ears, right? You sell cars, this guy wants to buy. It's not a customer that you have to go looking for. You don't have to prospect. This person has walked in and had asked for your product. Okay? When you look at this verse from the ministry perspective, think about it. If you are a pastor or if you have some kind of a ministry and somebody comes to you, right, and says, I want to follow Jesus. That's 80% of the work. Half of the time, if you are in the ministry of God, you are reaching out to people, trying to invite them into the kingdom, trying to give them gospel, trying to make them understand their sinful state and their need for forgiveness and a savior. Now here, somebody would come and ask you, I want to follow Jesus. You would be so joyous. You would be jumping up and down, right? But that's not what Jesus does here. I imagine if one of these TV evangelists, if he had a person like this come, you're like, yeah, welcome, welcome, welcome. We would be so happy. I think all of us would be at certain level be happy. But Jesus is not us. And here lies a lesson that we must learn. Okay, here lies a lesson that we must learn. He is not making it easy for this person to follow him. He is actually making it more difficult. He is throwing in an obstacle. He is throwing or putting up a barrier for this person. He didn't say, oh, praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord, let me lay my hands on you and you follow me, you become my disciple. Jesus didn't say that. Look what he said in verse 58. He says, and Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his hand. And what this verse tells you here is following Jesus is not easy. You don't add Jesus to your full life. You can't be saying that, okay, oh, my life is perfect. You know, now I have gotten my degree from college. I have a good job. I'm at a very respectable position. Everything seems to be in the order. Now, this might be a good time for me to add Jesus in. I have witnessed, right, all these three men. If you read this chapter in Luke, what you will see is they have been witnessing a lot of miracles. And when this man probably saw what is happening, he says, hey, I want to be part of this. But Jesus looks at a heart. Jesus looks at heart. If you turn with me to Gospel of John, if you go into Gospel of John, and then if you go to chapter 2, and at the end, I believe it's either the 23rd or 24th. Actually, the 24th and the 25th verse we will read, okay? This is right in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He has just turned water into wine at the wedding in Cana. And then, for the first time, he has cleansed the temple. And after that, verse 24 reads this way. It says, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men, and he had no need that anyone should testify of men, for he knew what was in men. What is this in response to? It's a response to verse 23. And what does the verse 23 says? Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. So many believed in him because of the signs and the miracle he performed. But Jesus did not commit himself to them. Why? Because he knew the heart of the man. And because of that, now getting back to our text in the Luke chapter 9, when this man says, Lord, I will follow you, Jesus answers, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." You see, Jesus can read his heart, and this man was used to of a comfort of life. This man was used to of comfort of life. He wanted to add Jesus into his full life. Life is going good. I'm enjoying the comforts of the life, the money that I have, all the stuff that the money affords me. And that's why Jesus, reading his heart, says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests." And what Jesus is saying is, look, I don't even have a place to go. And why does he say foxes? Because at that time in Jerusalem, foxes were all over the place. And even they had a hole where they would crawl into. They would call that a home. And there were plenty of birds, and they had a nest. And what Jesus is saying is, I am even below foxes and the birds. Okay, what Jesus is saying. And you know why birds? Interesting fact, and this has nothing to do with our study today. But when the birds are migrating from Europe to Africa, guess where they go by? They go right over Israel. And so these people at this time, they knew birds. Okay, and they have nest. By the way, you know, when we get into the book of Revelation and we get into the end times, right, there is going to be that Armageddon war where there is going to be a lot of death. And if you know your end times prophecy, birds are going to be eating the flesh of the men. This is where these birds are going to come from, that migration that is happening. But be as that may be, getting back to our words. So he is telling this man here that there is a price to be paid. There is a cost of following Jesus. Are you willing to pay that high cost? Are you willing to pray that high cost? And this man, who was perhaps wealthy, did not have the heart, true heart, to follow Jesus. He did not have a true heart to follow Jesus. Secondly, when we get to the second person, now think about this. Here we have a person where Jesus is asking him to follow him. That is unbelievable, right? Imagine if Jesus is the one asking you, follow me. It's almost like he's calling you to be his disciple. Am I right? This is what he said to Peter. This is what he said to John and James. This is what he said to Nathaniel. Follow me. But this man also had an excuse not to follow him. And what is his excuse? Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Now, when I was young, and even young in Christ, immature in Christ, when I did not know my scripture, and you read this portion of scripture, it sounded pretty cruel. It sounded very un-Jesus-like. Why would Jesus say this? That why would he not even allow this man to go and attend his father's funeral? It's a valid a thought that might come into your heart. It might come into your mind. But why is Jesus not even allowing this man to go and bury his own father? This is something that actually the Bible tells us to do. We have a responsibility toward our parents to take care of them. So what he wanted to do on a surface looks like this was a noble thing. Why wouldn't Jesus want him to go and bury his father? But when you look deeper into this verse, this is not saying, this verse is not saying, or this man is not saying to Jesus that his father is dead already. Right? We get a picture that his father is lying dead in a casket somewhere, and he needs to go. And once he finishes the funeral, and whatever the final rites, he will come back and follow Jesus. That's not what it is saying here. You see, first of all, this man's father was not dead at all. He was well and alive. This expression, let the dead bury their own, let me go bury my father, has to do with his inheritance. Even today in the Middle East, this is how they talk. That I am going to bury my father, meaning I'm going to stay with him, I'm going to hang around him until he dies and until I claim my inheritance. And that's what Jesus is saying over here, that let the dead bury the dead. If you are going to follow me, then you're going to have to cut your ties and those obligations. You can't be obsessed. You can't be obsessed about money and the worldly things. You can't be. And so what Jesus is saying to this man over here, look, you cannot go and worry about claiming your inheritance if you want to follow me. It's a decision that all of us have to make. Are we going to follow the worldly path, or are we going to follow Jesus? And this is something that we must understand. We must understand. You are called to come into the kingdom of God and for the rest of your life to go and proclaim the glories of the kingdom. And if we are going to do that, we need to let go of the kingdom of this world. Even some of the noble responsibilities. Jesus here is not saying that you can't attend a funeral. Jesus is not saying here that we need to start hating our relatives, our father and mother, that we completely cut off our relationship with them. That's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is, I am the priority. Everything else comes later. This man here is committed to personal riches, much like the young rich ruler that we read about, I believe in Matthew 19, who comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to be saved? He's like that young, rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and said, how do I receive an eternal life? What do I do? And he calls Jesus Rabbi, good master, right? And Jesus starts talking to him about the law, right? About the Ten Commandments. And he says, oh, I have kept that from my childhood. And what he was basically saying is, I'm not a sinner, right? Because Jesus said, okay, I give you that. Jesus knew that it's not possible for him to keep all the commandments. But Jesus said, okay, I believe you. Now let's talk about self-denial. Take everything you have and sell and give it to the poor. What happened to that rich young ruler? He went away. He came all the way to the door of an eternal life. And because of his love of possessions, worldly possession, he turned around. He turned around and went away. Jesus always puts obstacles at an appropriate time to make sure that our decision to follow him is a true one, a complete one. And here we have a man who was asked to follow. And what his answer basically is, when he says, I will go and bury my father, sure, I will do it, but I will do it sometime in the future. I have to take care of my inheritance. And what Jesus is trying to tell him is, you need to leave the kingdom of this world. Right? What does the scripture tell us? Friendship with the world is an enmity with God. If you love the things of this world, if you love the things of this world, the love of the Father is not in you. One more encounter we are going to look at. Verse 61. And he says, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Here's a guy, perhaps he's witnessing this two conversation that is taking place. And he's like, I will follow you, Lord. I'm not going to be like the guy. I will follow you. And I won't wait until my father's dead. I'm going to follow you now. Let me just go and say goodbye. Just allow me to say goodbye to my loved ones at home. And then I want to follow you. Right? We can say maybe perhaps this guy was a mama's boy. I just want to go home. And when you look at it on the surface once again, this kind of sounds reasonable. Right? Perhaps he's thinking to himself, right? I don't need to wait until my father dies to get the money. I'll just go home and raise some money. Perhaps they'll give me some money now because I'm going to be doing this noble thing. Maybe I'll go home and I have a farewell party, say final goodbyes. Again, loving your family is not a wrong thing. Loving your family is not a wrong thing. But what does the scripture tell us? I did not come to bring peace, but sword. Right? He also says, I came to set a man against his father, or a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemy will be the member of his household. Right? Basically, he said, if you love your mother or father more than me, then you are not worthy of me. If you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of me. What Jesus is saying is, the price is high to follow me. You have to be willing to cut the ties with your family if need be. And the key word throughout this whole conversation that I'm having with you, the key word is willing. Perhaps this guy would go back to the family who would not understand what he is talking about or what he is doing. Perhaps they would convince him not to go at all. Actually, if you look at, I believe it's Luke 14, verse 25, it says, Jesus turned and said, if anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, and hate his own life, he can't be my disciple. This is not the Jesus that we learn about when we turn on the TV and you are listening to name it and claim it preachers. I'm going to read that again to you. If anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his own brother, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, his own life, he can't be my disciple. This is a hard, hard teaching. You know, when you go into the John chapter 6, at the end of that chapter, the chapter starts out by Jesus feeding the 5,000. And then we see the miracle of him walking on the water. But in that chapter, later on, as he starts to teach them about communion, about what price there is to pay to follow him, it says they all left him. They all left him. Hate your own father, mother, self. This is not the Jesus that we hear about on TV, do we? There is a price to be paid. And what all of this simply means is that your love for Jesus has to be so great and so real from the spiritual viewpoint that nothing, you would be indifferent to any of those ties, such as family, in your life. Right? And how does Jesus answer this man? No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And what it basically means is, if when a farmer is plowing his farm, his focus is straight ahead. If he is looking back, then that plow is going all over the place. He is looking, right? What does Paul tell us in his epistles? I have learned, I run the race, not looking back. Try running while you are looking back. Matter of fact, try walking while you are looking back. You will not be able to run or walk as fast or as efficiently if you are looking back. A great servant of John Bunyan says, you can't be Mr. Facing Both Ways. Those are the words of John Bunyan, right? The man who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Perhaps a book which is considered number two for a Christian to read after Bible. And the point here is basically, you can't have a divided heart. You can't have a divided heart. There are people who come all the way up to the believing, just like the young ruler, all the way up, and could be pushed to pray the prayer, right? Any church you go to, oh, raise your hand, say these words after me, right? The ABCs of salvation. It's like a moment. But when you give them the reality of following Jesus, the self-denial, are you willing to give up all your comfort, all your possession, if that's what the Lord asks, and all your relationship? And the one who is truly being prompted by the Spirit of God, and one who's truly convicted about Jesus, he is going to say, I am willing to pray that. I am willing to pay that price because Jesus Christ to me is more valuable than all. And I'm just going to stop at that word, all. That covers it all. Much like, if you remember, perhaps the shortest parable in the Bible, right? The guy says, I will sell all that I have to buy that pearl. Or the man says, I will sell everything that I have so I can buy the farm where the treasure is buried. this man's heart was divided, and thus he was not fit for the kingdom of God. Because he wanted to hold on to things of this world. And when we look at all of these three things, three examples, the issue we have here is salvation. Issue here is eternal life. Today's day and age, it seems that we have a bit of confusion about this. Right? Look at verse 62, what it says. It's about coming into the kingdom. And what Jesus is simply saying here, look, if you are holding back anything, you can't come in. If you are holding back anything, you can't come in. And this doesn't mean that the Lord is going to take away all our comfort, like the first man. It doesn't even mean that we have to give away all our possession. It doesn't mean we have to, as I said, break away from all our relationship. But if you had to, would you be willing to? If he asked you, or if there is a need, would you? And that's why today's question that I raised to you is, are you willing to carry your cross? Are you ready to self-deny, completely surrender everything that you have to follow Jesus? And when we talk about salvation today, salvation, when you accept Christ, you are making him your Lord and your Savior. And too often in the world we live today, where we have name it and claim it gospel, we have no problem with the Savior part of it. We have the problem about the Lord part. That he is the Lord of our life, that every desire that we have, everything that we do, we are going to submit to him. And many times, the way people look at this is that I'm going to accept Christ. It's kind of an event. And then my service will come later on, perhaps when I'm a little bit older, perhaps when I have more time, then I will give more of myself to Jesus and to the ministry. But that's not what we just read in Luke chapter 9. What did he say over there? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. If you look at that verb in the original Greek language, it is a continuous present tense, meaning it's not just a decision you make one day and now decision is done and then you go on living your life. That's not what it talks about. Continue to follow me. Continue following me. And so it is a Christian walk is not an easy walk. Right? Bible repeatedly tells us the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. And that doesn't mean that you are holding on to your salvation and at the end you still have a chance to lose your salvation. That's not what it is saying. What it is saying is we are going to hang on through the persecution, through the hatred, through the perhaps losing certain relationships in our life. What you need to know, what we need to know, that if you follow Jesus, yes, there is a crown at the end, but to get there, there is a cross on the way. It is the way of persecution. It is the way of suffering. And when you look at the example of these three men, perhaps some of them were on a stony ground. That he jumped at following Jesus, the first guy, right? But when a little tribulation comes, a little pressure comes, when the sun comes out, then the seed is scorched away and no fruit. No fruit. Remember, following Jesus, there is a cost to that. There is a cost involved. It's not about self-satisfaction. It is about self-denial. It's about what I am willing to give up. It is about what I am willing to give up. And so when we talk about bearing your cross, when you talk about carrying your cross, right? It is talking about, are you going to die to yourself? Are you going to die to your desires, right? And as I read this verses 57 to 62, do we see ourselves in any of these men? You know, when you talk about carrying the cross, you know, perhaps you are going to give up, you're going to have to give up your status in the society. Perhaps you are going to have to give up some of your relationships. Perhaps you're going to have an alienation from your family. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means that you're going to lose your job and your possessions? Are you willing to follow Jesus if you're going to lose your life itself? Some of us might even lose our closest friend. Guess what? When you decide to follow Jesus and when you stop going to certain places and stop doing certain things, your friends are probably going to make fun of you. Sometimes your family, our closest loved ones, are the biggest obstacles we have in a stronger relationship with Jesus. Because we say, oh, what is he going to say? What is my mom going to say? What is my sister is going to say? What my brother is going to say? It is not an easy walk. And so here, Jesus is not trying to discourage this man. He is trying to give them the truth. And so when we come across someone who is eager to know Jesus, that's the great news. But don't forget to tell them about the tough part. One thing is guaranteed, the moment you accept Jesus, life is not going to be easy. And the other thing is, are you willing to die to yourself? Are you willing to die? This is a fundamental point when it comes to salvation. Fundamental point when it comes to salvation. And thus, on this Good Friday, I have raised that question to you. Are you willing to carry your cross? I could have said, are you willing to die to yourself? And the verse, as we end this study today, that I want to draw your attention to is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Most of you know this verse. It says, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. How did I die to the world? How did I give up everything and have a sharp focus only on Jesus? I have been crucified with Christ. Have you been crucified with Christ? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, right? It's no longer Ajay who's living. It doesn't matter what I liked. If I liked sports, that is no longer the central point of my life. If I like movies, the movie is not the central part of my life anymore. whatever it is that you associated yourself with, and perhaps you thought that I can never give this up. The moment we come to know Jesus, moment we say that we have accepted Christ, we have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Do you see any works? Do you see any room here for your own way of thinking? And what Paul is saying and what we should be saying is, I live in the love for the Savior who loved me, the one who gave himself up for me. I live in a complete trust in him. And how does the trust comes? Comes through obedience. What does it mean when I've been crucified? When he died, we died. And if you read Romans 3, end of Romans 3, about 25th or the 26th verse, right? He is a justifier of those who have faith in him. Because he is the one, Jesus is the one who paid a full penalty for our sins. Have you been crucified with Christ? Are you in a relationship with Christ? Have you put all your trust in him? Do you only live to please him, to love him, to honor him, to worship him, to praise him? Are you truly obedient to him? Not outward appearances, as we have been talking about throughout this week. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about in heart, spiritually. And so, as I said, those of us who have been crucified with Christ, we have died with him. That means dead person does not have any desires. Dead person doesn't get offended. Dead person is not bitter. Dead person is not jealous. Easy. Can a dead person be jealous? Can dead person remember the past wrongs that were done to them? No, we cannot. There is a price to be paid to follow Jesus. Are you willing to pay that price? Or are we like that man who loves his comfort and does not want to let go of the comfort, as we read in verse 57. That you want to follow Jesus on your own terms. You like the comforts of this world. You like your nice car. You like your nice home. You like things that the money buys you. And once again, there is nothing wrong with any of those things. But when you add Jesus to them instead of following Jesus without any boundaries? Or are you like a man who's interested in inheritance? You are still holding on that, oh, I need to get my money. I want to make sure that my family house doesn't go to my brother or my sister. I got to get that. And when all of those things are settled, all the inheritance has been divided equally, when everything is taken care of, and then in my old age, I will decide to follow Jesus. Or are you like the third man? Yes, you want to follow Jesus. Yes, you have a conviction. Yes, you want to do it, and you don't care about the inheritance and so forth. But you can't let go of your past life. You can't let go. If you happen to be one of this kind of men, let this Good Friday be the day that you once again find yourself on your knees, pleading to God, surrendering everything, that he may strengthen you to carry your cross. Self-denial is the only way to following Jesus. And following Jesus is not a one-day decision. It's a lifetime commitment. Each and every day that we walk on this earth, we are to follow Jesus. We are to die to self and follow Jesus. And every circumstances, every walk of the life, when you feel like acting out in your flesh, you need to die to yourself and think, what would Jesus want me to do here? Carry your cross and follow him. And if you follow him, yes, right now in this life, there is a cross to bear, but there is a crown waiting for us at the end. May God add his blessing to his word. Amen.